Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com.
Welcome to the Lakers Fast Break. This is Jamie Sweet filling in for Gerald Glassford, who is hooting and hollering it up at his good friend's bachelor party. So you get a double dose of myself and Joe Sorrell tonight. Tonight the Lakers lost big time to the Sacramento Kings, 47-point loss, 133-86. Russell Westbrook left the game quickly with an apparent hamstring injury. Not sure to the severity of said injury. We already have lost Dennis Schroeder to a finger injury after he got back from his German sojourn. And the Lakers look nothing like a team that is ready to compete in the NBA. So with that in mind, let's get the show on the road. Welcome, everyone. We've got, I'm sure, a lot to talk about. Not a lot of it happy, unfortunately, because the Lakers got walloped. And if you're an LA sports fan, it was kind of a tough night in general. Dodgers lost to the Padres 2-1. The Angels are still terrible. And I guess people still watch hockey, but I don't. So go Kings, go Ducks, whoever the LA team is du jour. It's going to be an interesting season if nights like tonight are the norm. Because it goes a lot beyond Russ, in my opinion, and we're going to get into all that here this evening. So first, I'd like to welcome my cohort and partner in crime this evening, Mr. Joe Soros. Joe, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing as well as a loser can do.
Well, you're not. Listen, hey, no. We're not the losers. We're simply the suckers who tune in to watch it when we could be watching Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy back to back. So, you know, that's... And then we'll go to a country buffet, country town buffet, and get ourselves
Old Town Buffet or the Golden Corral.
That's right, Golden Corral. That's what I was going for. Thank you, Old Town Buffet.
Walk into the place and ask if there are two for one deals type stuff. Right.
Also, can we turn the air down a little bit? It's a bit chilly in here. Is there anybody else?
Actually, I just turned mine on. Actually, it was hot.
I got a fan going. It's when you reside in the lower depths, it often gets warm. So
sure.
Yeah, Lakers got their keisters handed to them by none other than the also probably not playoff bound Sacramento Kings. You could say it's a preseason game, but in what was supposed to be a quote unquote preview of what we're going to see during the regular season, I'm not quite sure this is the kind of thing a lot of Laker fans are going to want to tune in to watch. The effort was non-existent, the execution non-existent, and we played, it could be argued, almost zero defense. This from another in a series of defensive-minded coaches coaching a roster that we'll get into the methodology behind maybe a little bit prior to this, since it'll be the last time we'll be able to talk about some of these preseason guys, since I'm expecting a slew of cuts over the weekend. So a few people will be looking for a job, probably pick up a gig overseas or in the G League. So, yeah, if you're a Laker fan, thanks for tuning in. But I don't have Twitter, so if anybody has Twitter, throw something up on the chat about any information on Russ and his hamstring injury. So we'll just see what's going on. Oh, thanks, Gerald. Yeah, I don't know if that's I can't tell if it's tongue in cheek. So we'll see how that all goes. 20-win season, petting my cat. that does sound a bit optimistic. Who are we going to beat 20 times? We only play Utah. I think three or four, Houston a couple times, OKC maybe. That's another old team. Charlotte maybe. I don't know that. Bring Stan back? No, I would trade Stanley Johnson for Wenyan Gabriel in 22 seconds actually. Because
I think Stanley's going to say I'm going somewhere else.
He'll make more money overseas,
and I'm going to try to win somewhere.
I mean, it depends on what you're looking for, right? Do you want to win an NBA championship, or do you want to take care of your family for a couple of years?
Unfortunately, Stanley, if you want to be frank here,
yes,
unfortunately, it was a massive bust. And it's unfortunate. I had a little bit of knowledge of who he was besides basketball. He went to Rancho Santa Margarita. I have a very good friend whose wife has been a teacher there for years. She's retired since, I believe, 2019, but she still kind of periodically goes there. So there was a lot of noise coming out of there. Of course, Klay Thompson went there as well. There was a lot of noise that Stanley was going to be a pretty big deal, and he's unfortunately just never really lived up to that.
He's an out-of-position player for the NBA. He's neither big nor small, fast nor strong, doesn't have a great shot, and isn't like a – he flashed some, I would say, some above-average playmaking skills as a Laker. You know, he handled the ball better than I expected him to for a guy his size. But he doesn't force a defense to react. And if you can't force a defense to react somehow in the NBA – you're not going to have a long and glorious career. If you work hard and are willing to take it on the chin on a nightly basis, like a PJ Tucker or a Pat Bev, yeah, you can carve out a career as a, takes all the beatings role player, but I'm not sure Stanley had that in his arsenal. So
there's also really not, you can't really play one side of the ball anymore. You have to play both. So if you're going to be someone who can't handle the ball, can't get to the hoop, can't really move your feet, can't do fundamental, type stuff, you have to at least be able to shoot when you're open.
Right.
Playing defense, basically a 3D. You have to be both. Otherwise, right, you really hold no value to any team, especially if that team is competing.
I tend to agree with that. Gerald is informing us, and it's funny to post a Lakers fast break comment here on the Lakers fast break, but it's Gerald saying he can't go to the Lakers because he was traded by LA, and I believe that is true. So sorry, all those people helping Stanley Johnson.
I don't want Stanley back. I don't.
No, and let's be honest, Stanley isn't going to fix what ails this team.
No, though, and I find it quite comical that we had talked about it a few shows ago about how there's this noise about expansion of the NBA. The NBA, I think at this point in its history, has as bad a talent pool as you can have in terms of the upper elite types. There's a lot of good guys and a lot of guys that can shoot and play some defense. But in terms of the what made the NBA, which is superstars. So I think to put that in perspective, so when you look at, let's say, I'm not going to go to the 80s, so that's because that's understandable. There was only 24 teams or 23 teams at the time. Might have been 26 towards the end of the 80s. But then, once you started hitting the 90s and you had a solid before Vancouver and Toronto came in, you had 28 teams. And in the 90s, you had the Knicks, you had Houston, you had the Bulls, you had Utah, you had Phoenix, you had, a lot of these teams, and each of them had like Charles Barkley, Kevin Johnson, Thunder Dan. Like, there was just immense talent. And a lot of these teams had superstars, Shaq and Penny in Orlando. You don't really have that. It's thinned out and you've expanded. And you've, the current culture of the league has kind of become this watered down 3-point shooting. It's arena basketball. That's what I kind of call it. It's the arena football version of basketball. And then on top of that, you've had since 1995 a talent pool that, because they're coming from high school or only playing a year in college, you're not getting those fundamentals taught. You're not getting the age from age. I mean, NBA, a year can make a huge difference, especially if you're being taught by a great coach, which a lot of these players did get taught. Dean Smith, Bobby Knight, Mike Krzyzewski. You had a lot of these teams that these guys played for who were coached by amazing players, and they were there for at least 3 years. It's watered down, and I think if you expand, it's only going to get worse. And there's just nothing out there, guys. I mean, there's nothing out there. You have to hope no one gets injured and hope that they don't quit like they quit tonight. I mean, this is this is the problem with talking. I find it ironic that we're in the talking business, right? But that's mm-hmm. what this is, right? We're here to talk. We're not here to play basketball. But the mistake that Darvin Ham made was giving the cliche, we're going to be focused on defense and we're going to do this. Okay. Why would you say that? Why? You're setting yourself up for failure. Don't tell me, unless it's really bad, unless the NBA leaders are just a crapshoot of knowledge, you know, or no knowledge, which I've actually said for a few years now. I feel like you can grab a few people off the street to GM teams these days. I don't know what these guys are actually doing. I don't know what they're thinking when they're drafting and what they're acquiring these big contracts for certain players. But we're losing to a team twice in the last week. We've lost to a team by 47 and 30 that hasn't made the playoffs since 2006. Do you remember what you were doing in 2006?
I mean, mildly, yeah, kind of.
I don't.
Okay.
Well. I don't. I have a clue what I was doing in 06. The only thing I remember out of 06 is Kobe. Kobe playing like Superman. That's it. Yep. So when you're sitting there telling me you're going to play defense, defense has always been about effort. Am I wrong on that? Now,
no,
I know you're not going to.
And not about talking about it either.
Right.
Don't talk about playing.
I'm not expecting. Playing. Yeah, exactly. I'm not expecting Kobe in his prime, Duncan, Gary Payton. I'm not. That's not fair. But if you had a defensive-minded whatever, you're not losing by 47 and allowing 133 points, even if you don't care. This is what quitters do. This is what quitting does. And I've seen a lot of quitting recently in so many sports and in so many areas. And you get to a point where when do you hold these guys accountable? When do you hold the NFL for a miserable product, right? Let's talk about Thursday. They put a Washington Commanders team and a Chicago Bears team on a Thursday night game, which no one wants. But because Jeff Bezos paid $1 billion to show him on there, you're okay with it. And yet, every other day I'm hearing, we got to protect our players. We got to protect the brand. We got to protect the shield. But in the end, guys, it's our fault. We keep watching. And the only way this ends, the only way this acceptance of mediocrity ends is if we stop watching, which I am this close in stopping watching the Dodgers play. I mean, I'm this close.
Can I ask you a question? Do you try to tune in for every game during the entire season?
Or? I've watched the last two seasons since they finally got that Time Warner deal. I've at least watched from beginning to end approximately 120 games each year. From beginning to end. So I invest a lot of time. Now, granted, I'm at work sometimes and I'll have it playing. I'll be in the car and I'll have it on my thing or whatever. So it's not like I'm sitting in my house just watching, right? It's always kind of technology has allowed me to still be productive and watch. But yeah. watching mediocrity and watching I'm mentioning NFL, baseball, and basketball because I don't want to just blame it on basketball. It's not just basketball. It's not just Genie. It's not just LeBron. It's the culture. It's the culture. We have enabled these guys to make millions and millions of dollars. We have a show dedicated to a team that doesn't pay us. We have done this, and the return is, well, it doesn't matter. You guys are going to be watching anyways. Lakers at least have won. I know the Lakers have at least won, so I kind of give you the – I'll give them the benefit of the doubt there. But at what point does – I don't know, man, guys. I have to go back to the same thing every time, guys. I don't know – I don't like them. I don't like them as people. That's the problem. And this just exasperates it. If they were good – if they were – and good and bad is subjective, right? Like it's beyond. I'm sure Jeannie and Rob are good people. Like they're nice people and they don't hurt anybody, right? But there's little things that I look at that people do that, and we've already gone over this in previous shows where I'm like, you know, when the pressure is on, is this what you are? You know, are you a fake? Are you a person that's going to try to take money in areas that are not for you? Things like that. So it's so much stuff. It's just so much stuff that it gets so full. It gets so overwhelming. You're just like, you start kind of getting a headache from trying to explain it. Bottom line is, I'll try to put it as simple as I can here and end this. I don't really think any of these people really care about being great. No one anymore. I don't think they do.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cold.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
Do you think they don't care about being great, or they're not willing to? So we were talking before the show. So real quick, I want to run over a couple of things just because I hadn't been able to pull up a box score for tonight's game. A couple of things that stand out to me right off the bat. Almost every player on the roster, except for Troy Brown dealing with a back issue, Anthony Davis, back issue, Schroeder injured his finger in practice, Lonnie Walker, sprained ankle, played tonight. Somebody named N. Pierre Lewis, so I have no idea who that is. Oh, fantastic. Russ only played 5 minutes, hurt his hamstring, sat out. Everybody else played more than 10 minutes on the roster. Nobody scored in double digits, except for LeBron James, who scored 12. Some of these guys are fighting to just make the league. I'm not talking about having a role on the team. I'm not talking about, oh, I know, you know, where I get my shots from. I'm not talking about trying to get a contract extension. You're trying to be an NBA player for the first time in your life. And this is the effort that you can put forth. This means to me one of two things. One, you're simply not good enough. You're not good enough. You shouldn't be a part of the NBA. And I think this speaks to the expansion issue, because I think you're absolutely right. I think the league is extremely watered down at this point. I think there's a bunch of teams who have good to even pretty good players, but the superstars, there's 10 of them, 30 teams. It just doesn't pan out. And I think it's going to be really difficult for the Lakers to be competitive on a nightly basis in the regular season. You could argue that there are some playoff matchups that they might be able to exploit this or that in, but for the most part, I don't see them as being really even able to get out of the play-in rounds, which is where I expect them to finish record-wise. I don't think they're going to get out of the play-in. I don't think they're going to be a first-round winning team, and they have no shot at a title this season. So with all of that in mind, and with the idea that we have a bunch of young guys that we got on the roster who, in theory, should be really excited about trying to, if not for the Lakers even. Let's say you're not going to be a Laker. That's fine. There's a bunch of other teams that are going to have roster spots open, or that might think you fit better on their roster than somebody else they have. Nobody's going to pick up any of these Laker players nobody can score 10 points in a game they all average double-digit minutes in. Many of them more than 15. So I'm kind of amazed at this, to be honest. This is an incredible stat to me. You know, I don't understand. I don't understand the methodology behind that Rob deployed in building this team. And I don't understand why anybody would want to pay to see a game this season. You know, John brought up a good point in the chat, and nice to see you, John, that, you know, we are the suckers who tune in, pay our cable packages, go to the game, but it's because we love the team. And it's not even most of the players on the team at this point. I mean, half the guys who played tonight, I don't know who they are really.
I respect Dr. Buss's creation.
Yeah.
I respect Dr. Buss. I respect Magic Johnson. I respect Kobe. I respect Shaq.
This isn't that though.
It's hard because we're stuck too, because we won a championship just 2 years ago, right? So yep. We're still going to sound like ungrateful a-holes, because there are teams that haven't even gotten close to winning anything in 50 years. You know, Knicks fans are probably listening to us right now going, hey, a-holes, we haven't won one since 1973, okay? You know, and we've only been to the finals twice. And right. We should have won one, but John Starks couldn't make a shot in game 6. And then, of course, in 1999, you have to go to that one without Patrick Ewing. And yep. That's why I'm kind of stumbling in my talk. I'm stumbling in my talk because I it's not about, even when we won 2 years ago. It's not that. It's just it's kind of the stuff that preceded. And I'm trying to stay away from the social stuff. I'm trying to get around it. That's why I'm stumbling there too. I'm watching the Dodger game, and I got the Laker game on split screen on my TV, and one of the most obnoxious political commercials came on, and it compounded with all the nonsense of what was going on both games, like the utter just disdain of trash that we watch on a daily basis. Like, TV is garbage, you know? The TV has become garbage. The products of these things have become garbage because they've all they care about is money. And this goes with the Thursday night game. I think that was kind of the igniter for me this week. I'm going back and forth and watching the Bears try to attempt to make a pass or a completion, I should say, and then watching the foreskins, the red. Oh, Washington, do whatever the hell they were. I'm going, and then of course, the first thing I hear is, well, Jeff Bezos paid $1 billion for the NFL to be on Prime, and then you got to go on your phone, and then you got to go into the apps to watch the game instead of just turning on your TV like you used to. Like, they've not only made it trash quality, you've also made it harder to watch.
Yes.
This is supposed to be easier. Well, everybody streams their stuff now. I don't want to stream it. I don't want to stream it unless I'm out of the house or something. I want to watch it comfortably in my home. I just want to turn the TV on. So the money has always been the driving force of everything in life.
Yep.
And it's worse now because at least money used to bring you quality, right? So when a team would sell out a stadium, that means the product on the court was on fire. Now, they don't give a crap if any fans go to the show because they got TV contracts. And that's the bottom line, guys. The TV contracts made fans obsolete. And I was saying this before. I said this before COVID hit. I said, I guarantee you guys, if you read into all this stuff, and it's just talk that I'm having with people. It's not anything important, right? It's just sports. But I said, they don't need it. They don't need fans. It's just extra money for them. I go, if there are no fans coming to a Laker game, it wouldn't matter. They got $3 billion for 20 years. They're okay. You know, they're going to be fine. Just by showing them on Time Warner Cable or whatever the hell they call themselves now. And that to me is what kind of sets this up. It's like, well, we don't really need to try hard because we really don't need the fans. And then during the pandemic, yeah, the NBA lost a few bucks, NFL lost a few bucks, but as soon as the following year came in, they like went back right to where they were the year before that.
Cap's about to go up next summer, so the league is fine financially.
Yeah, there is no accountability there in terms of fan interaction. The networks seem to be getting enough eyes on there to where they don't care. Maybe it's the gamblers. I don't know. But we are the problem. You, me, Gerald, everybody listening to the show, we are the problem. We're supporting mediocrity. We're supporting these guys and giving them $50 and $60 and $70 million. And at some point, when you give them that kind of money, they're not going to really care as much, no matter who they are. You know, those guys like Kobe and Jordan, those guys don't exist anymore. And I don't think they ever will.
You know, it's funny. So I want to touch on what you just said, and then I want to share some more really exciting numbers from tonight's barn burner of a basketball game.
Did the box scores finally come out? Because I couldn't find jack crap.
It's almost as if it's like the
something's like been going on with the internet. I haven't been able to update my score or anything.
It's like the Panama Papers. You got to dig around for it. I mean, one of the things that I feel like when you mentioned streaming, one of the things I feel like the modern world of watching sports is missing out on is the city versus city, state versus state, county versus county. If you're streaming everything, if you have access to everything, if you don't have a true home team, you don't have those kind of rivalries that drive narrative. You're like, well, here's this guy and he's pretty good. Here's this other guy and he's pretty good. I just had to Google. So for everybody who's looking for a box score, I Googled Lakers Kings box score, and then Google Chrome has an interface that has all the information. So the Lakers tonight. So let's get into some numbers and see where this takes us for the evening. The Lakers tonight shot 42%. They made 29 shots out of 68 attempts. They were 8 for 22 from 3-point line and 20 for 31 from the free throw line. Conversely, the Kings shot 61%, 46 for 75, so they got attempts at the basket than we did. Shot more three-pointers and made three-pointers, 20 for 29, which tells you how that perimeter defense is looking, for 69%. And they made 21 out of 28 free throws, 75%. So even though we shot more free throws, we made one less. They out-rebounded us 39 to 27. Didn't kill us on the offensive glass because they didn't have to. They made all their shots, and we didn't get a lot of offensive rebounds because they got all the defensive ones. Nobody moved the ball a lot. Looked like a lot of iso ball, 10 assists for the Kings, 8 for us. Not a defensive game. Kings only had 5 steals. We still managed to turn it over 12 times to the Kings 5, and they murdered us in the paint, points in the paint, 38 to 26. And they actually racked up way more personal fouls, 22 to 13, which tells me that the Kings showed up to play and the Lakers showed up. And that's my greatest fear with this team, is that if LeBron James at nearing 40 years old and Anthony Davis, who's a bad crossing of the street away from missing a month, if they're the key and the fallback is, and we might trade Russ for, and like the basic future of the team that in terms of picks we can trade for a couple of overpriced role players or something like that, that to me is not the Russell Westbrook trade question. To me, was answered a long time ago. I'm sure it's not answered for everybody, and a lot of people are interested in our thoughts on it. But that question was answered for me a long time ago. I've written a lot about it on Lakerholics. I've talked a lot about it here on the Laker Fast Break, and I haven't seen a trade that makes this team demonstrably better. Not one. And so, if that's the case, you ride it out. You just ride it out, and you suck it up, and you say, we made a series of bad trades, and the last one was the worst one. And we as fans have to basically hope that Rob has learned a lesson, which I also don't believe. So I think we're in for a really long period of mediocrity, unfortunately, as Laker fans. And you know, we'll get to see LeBron James break Kareem's record, which is a longevity record as much as anything else, and a health record as much as anything else. It means he was healthy for a lot of games, means he's played for a long time, and he scored a lot of points, and that's fantastic. I don't know that I will watch every game this season. If it's going to be this bad, there might be nights where I go, you know what? I'm going to go to a concert, or I'm going to hang out with some friends. I do not need to subject myself to this. And it's funny that you brought up, we're the suckers who pay for it, because I floated on the idea that is it possible that fans do in some way revolt and say, that's it. I'm canceling my cable subscription. which would be what would really hurt the team. They're not going to the arena. AEG owns the arena, so AEG would be the Crypto just got the naming rights. We're looking at a whole period of time here where you're looking at what is it that can change. And the only thing I can think of is trading AD. That's it. You're not going to get a lot for Russ. You're not going to sign a superstar with his $35 million. You can sign a couple of good role players, but that's not enough. And so if you've come to this realization, or at least I've come to this realization, I don't know what to hope for. There's no hope. It's going to be bad.
I don't hope. I had a mentor tell me one time when he was giving me the knowledge of his business. The motto of his business was, there's no hope in this business. Now, for the narrow-minded, they're going to interpret that as, why are you being so negative?
Oh, right? Who is I this said, guy?
Hey, G, what's up?
Where are you? Are you at a rave?
Well, I'm at the K1 go-kart arena. Oh, I'm waiting for the rest of the bachelor party. So, I'm going to head out on the track here in a minute.
Are they fast or are they got the restrictor plates on them?
They just started. You'll see here. They go probably about 30, maybe 40.
Oh,
top.
God, that's come on.
Yeah, I know.
Golf carts go faster. They got governors.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to take out my frustrations on the other drivers because of how loud the Dodgers and the Lakers did today.
Oh, God.
And also out on ESPN because they couldn't even handle doing a box score.
And NBA.com. Yeah, that was pretty bad. NBA.com couldn't handle it either.
It's bad quality everywhere, guys. It's such bad quality in all facets of life. If you guys are around my world of business, boy, there's so many. Now, the good thing about it is my business is run pretty well, so the competition's really not a problem, right? So it's actually good for me, but boy, do people have zero clue how to do things. I mean, they have no organization. They have no will to be great, no will to be good at anything. They just are getting by, and that's it. It's pretty pathetic. Jamie, what was I saying before Gerald came on? I totally forgot.
That you don't have hope.
Oh, so my mentor said there's no hope in this business. So normally that when I would say that, people would fall in that positive, negative thing, right? And I'm like, no, you moron. Has nothing to do with that. I go, I want you to hear it again. There is no hope in this business. So for those of you who still don't know what it is, it means you can't do business with hope. Right. You have to do the business.
To do the work.
You can't just hope it for it to work. You have to put your effort in it. And when Darvin Ham says, I'm going to teach these guys how to play defense, he already flushed himself down the toilet right off the bat. Like, you're talking about hope. You're not talking about reality. So you've just basically become Frank Vogel too. You're no different. Oh, wow, because you're new? Because, oh, you have a deeper voice? No. You have no clout, guys. There's no clout. You're not Phil Jackson coming into town with 6 championships trying to tell Shaq, get your ass in gear so that you can win an MVP. Now, if what was a coach that hadn't won? If Paul Westphal had been hired in 2000 and went to Shaq and said, you're going to need to get your ass in shape, enough of the rap stuff, what do you think Shaq would have done? He would have
punched him in the face.
Paul, you're fired. So you can't come in like you're the new sheriff and then, but you don't have anything to back it up. It's just, unfortunately, the credibility matters.
Go ahead.
And we saw how his defense plays. You would think that defense would be, you know, for new guys, like you said, guys that are trying to make the team. If you're going to play defense at any point in your life, this is the time to do it so that you can, you know, make the team.
Make the team, stick in the NBA, have a career. Real quick, so speaking of defense, the Lakers allowed in the four quarters that we saw tonight of basketball, 36, 29, 30, and 38 points respectively. And they managed to score under 20 points in the third quarter after only scoring 46 on the first half and giving up 65. So the defense is alive and well here in Los Angeles, if you're a Laker fan. Gerald, I have a question for you. Were you able to watch much of the game tonight, really? Can you hear me, Gerald? I don't think Gerald can hear you.
Gerald, can you hear anything?
Barely. Can you hear anything, Gerald? Okay.
Barely. Hey,
did you get to watch the game at all tonight or no?
I only got to see the highlights off of YouTube and the ESPN because they couldn't give me the box scores. So I only saw about the usual. LeBron plays well. Everybody else stinks. And then, of course, Russell Westbrook going back to the locker room with his hamstring injury. So, things aren't looking good right now for us heading into the regular season. Pretty bummed about that.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a little bit unsettling, I think. And it doesn't seem like there's much news. We probably won't get a viable news report on Russ's hamstring until tomorrow. I do would imagine that unless Ham says, well, we're thinking of starting you like for the first or starting you off the bench for the first 10 games, that Russ will be playing on starting on opening night. So, we could all be in for a really long season. I hope that your exploits on, and I just want to say, I can't think of a better mixture than a bunch of inebriated men and go-karts. I really think that we might actually get a little bit more entertainment tonight, Gerald, if you just keep the stream going while you're driving. And
I wish I could, but I'm down to 25% of my battery. So.
Oh, come on. That's what the rookies say in Vegas. Come on.
I'll give you guys the results on Monday when we do our NBA preview, our season preview.
Yeah.
We're gonna do a mega episode on Monday.
Oh.
Yes. Count on it.
All right.
You guys better be there for it too. So we're going to do a mega episode season preview on Monday. Watch out
time,
for it.
What time Monday?
What time is good for you guys? 6? Or because it's going to be a long one. We're going to go long. We're going to go 2+ hours on that one.
Then we should, that early evening is bad for me, but I can always do later, but we'll figure it out. Well, before we head on out, does anybody have anything they'd like to add in terms of the wonderful and very positive and uplifting discussion we've had about not just tonight's really incredibly terrible and awful Laker game, but pretty much this incredibly terrible and awful Laker summer and preseason?
I'm going to go watch the last episode of the Ted Bundy tapes on Netflix so I can go to sleep.
And I'm going to watch The Crying Game.
I'm going to go ahead and take out my frustrations on the other vehicles and think they're like Rob Palenka or something right out there on the road.
No. Colin Cowherd, not Rob Palenka.
All of the above. They can find out both.
But I'll let you guys in on a little secret. Used to run a go-kart track for a year, so you know maybe I have the ins on this. So we'll see what happens. Maybe I can bring back some of that go-kart magic.
Do you want to regale us with with tales of children going defecating in your go-karts or adults?
I got a ton of stories, and this is way back when before you signed waivers like I just did here now or anything like that. This goes back to where you would actually go and crash in. You actually, the kids would go and crash through the guardrails and actually get themselves impaled into the guardrail as far as their legs are concerned. And then it would come out, they'd pull out the guardrail out of their leg, and you see the big old chunk where their leg once was. And now it's just just a bunch of mess of bones and whatnot. Yeah, we had a couple like that. I know that T-boning. Well, this is where you could crash into people all the time and you'd have me yelling at them all the time to knock it off. My best story, though, is when Charlie Sheen and Nicolas Cage, they rented the track out one night with their whole entourage, and they were already like, they had some substances, you could already tell, and they all had their entourages with them. They both had two girls each, arm in arm. They came in, they tried to take over the place, and it was so great because for an hour I got to yell at them like they were just regular customers. Knock it off! Knock it off! Like that. So it was beautiful.
So, you yelled at Charlie Sheen and Nicolas Cage.
I yelled at Charlie Sheen and Nicolas Cage because they were trying to drive the wrong way.
They must have been on Tiger Balm.
Well, they were on something. I can assure you of that.
Right. So. Well, we won't theorize.
Well, anyway. But guys, I will say thank you so much for running the stream tonight. I am truly appreciated. I really felt to kind of I felt like I was missing something. I felt all night long, and I was just like, oh, I'm missing doing the show. And I just couldn't leave without saying, you know, what a great job you guys did tonight, and much better than what the Lakers or the Dodgers did tonight, that's for sure.
So. Well, thank you. This is my first rodeo ever hosting a podcast, so it's been informative. And it's not as easy as you make it look. So I applaud your
pop culture cosmos.
Right. Yes. Yeah, you've got all your little things like already in your head.
Give that's us kind a of, five. I'm,
right, right. Oh, I didn't even. Die. Oh, I forgot to
five
ask.
Five-star review.
I don't even know where that is.
No, I mean I do. It's on Apple Podcasts. But all right, all five, six of you still watching. 5-star review right now. Subscribe right now. Right below Joe. Or actually, no, it's going to be below Joe.
Subscribe right below.
Hit the subscribe button right below.
Subscribe.
And leave us some comments for our mega show on Monday, so we can discuss what you guys want to hear. We can sit here and rant and rave about how annoyed and pissed off we are at the Lakers, but we like a little flavor. Drop us some flavor in the comment section or email Gerald at LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. For Gerald Glassford, I'm Jamie Sweet. Thank you to Joe on this side. Nope, on this side. On some side. Hey, that side.
One last thing, guys. One last thing before we go.
Sure.
Hey, before I go, one last thing. Can we let the crew out there know, let all the fans, all followers know about the possibility of doing Lakers Fast Break live watch parties? Is this of interest to you guys out there?
Let us know, please.
At Lakers Fast Break. In the comments on YouTube and LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com.
Or even on our Facebook page.
We'll make it better than Manning and Manning.
Oh, I don't know.
Absolutely. Maybe. I'd love to do it. So let us know if you're interested. We've already gotten some feedback already. So you never know.
Maybe we can have Cook and Cook, and we'll get Quinn Cook and Brian Cook to come watch party with us. Because that would be must watch TV.
That would be something. All right, guys, I'm going to head on out, but wishing you guys a great weekend. Everybody out there, have a great weekend. Please go ahead, be safe out there, and we'll see you Monday for the season preview.
All right, so check out Joe. What's your hype B-ball? B-ball, real quick.
Hype B-ball?
Your live chat. Hype, Joe.
You want me to hype the B-ball chat?
Oh, please. The LakersBall.com.
LakersBall.com.
Oh, so LakersBall was. Unfortunately, uneventful today on Game Time because people just checked out. I checked out. I want to check out from sports for the night. I just want to go and, like I said, I'm just going to go and try to forget tonight. Probably one of the worst. No, I wouldn't say one of the worst. It's just an absolute just waste of a 4-hour window of life tonight. If I could go back in time, I would have shot myself to save myself from watching what I watched. I think my TV having both games on at the same time was a disservice to the TV. If the TV crapped out on me tomorrow, I would honestly say, I understand.
My bad, TV.
I understand. I'm going to go drop another $3,000 and get a new one.
Right. You know, I was making a joke. I have a samurai sword hanging up here. I was like, I might have to sit and listen to 45 minutes of,
That samurai sword, I'll tell you what. At the first vision I had when you said samurai sword is the look of Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction when he's looking at it. That's how I felt. That's how I look today.
Da-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na-na-na. we might just end with a GIMP reference here. So hopefully
that gun,
the Lakers
dead.
Right. That's dead. Listen, let's hope the Lakers fare better than the GIMP in Pulp Fiction, and let's leave it at that. So for Gerald Glassford, I'm Jamie Sweet. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Catch our Mega 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 show on Monday. Thanks to Joe Soros for rapping with me for almost an hour.
And the regular season starts Tuesday. We'll
regular
be here
season starts. Regular season starts Tuesday, and oh joy, oh joy for Laker fans.
I'm gonna hit the gym before the game starts.
Okay. That's
so that I'm pumped.
Yeah.
And then when I'm after the game's over, we'll see what happens.
You get your swole on, and when we next meet, I'm gonna
I'll do a broadcast from the gym one day. So you
All right.
So I can do what Gerald is attempting to do wherever.
I'll do a broadcast from my Wednesday night gig some point. Just whenever you cut to me, it'll just be me playing banjo. So
I'm doing a Gerald Glassford right now. See,
there you go.
All right, guys. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for the chat,
people, participants,
and be safe.